When we love, we give gifts. And the more we love, the more we give gifts. And those who are just started a relationship, they will be spending a lot of money. And if you are in the relationship for like 5-6 years, you'll be like controlling your spending. Yeah? But when we love, we all do give gifts. You know, even if we can't, don't have much money to buy, we pinch from the gifts people give you and pass it on to you. That's what they do in MGM. But then there is a point that we can't give more than enough. We will give ourselves. That's what happens in marriage, isn't it? They go out, the first time maybe a flower, then a watch, then other things, earrings and whatever. You know, for guy, I don't know what these guys these days give, gifts. And then eventually they give a diamond ring and then say, I am yours, you are mine, let's live together. Even when we look at the Bible too, that is what God did to us. He gives us gifts. But the biggest gift he gave, his presence with us, of course, through Jesus, by becoming a human person. But the biggest gift he gave us is the Holy Spirit coming and living within us. Always, always within us. 1997, April 9th, I was asked to go to a retreat by my mom. Just finished high school, getting ready for summer holidays. Mom said there is a youth group, it's a covenant community, they started to run this something called discipleship type youth retreat. They said, Bonnie, you should go, because I was an altar servant, and this pious woman who wanted to evangelize everyone in my parish said to my mother, Bonnie should go to that retreat. And then I went along to that retreat. I was very upset because I didn't want to go because it's going to disturb my summer holidays. But mom said to me, there is something wrong with your school leaving certificate, so you better go to your school. And when I reached there, there is a lady standing with a bag. I said, this bag is from your mother. You got all your clothes and everything ready here. And there was a rule, if you enter the retreat, you can't leave. Even if you have demonic possessions, you can't leave until the retreat finishes. So I'm kind of trapped. But I walked into the hall. There were 300 young people from my own age. But for my greatest consolation, there were girls, because I went to an all-boys school. And when I saw my sisters, I was like, oh, 3 days without any restrictions, I can't be at the company of my sisters. So that was fun. So it started off in a very bad note. I was the shortest one in the retreat, but I sat at the last bench, and I wanted to make lots of fun. I used to yell out jokes and cracks. Everyone laughed, and everyone looked, where is the jokes come from? No one could see me. And and then I was having fun. I didn't listen. Well, rather, I pretended that I was not listening. But when they were preaching, things started to kind of, you know, I like that. Yeah, they told. But, you know, all my friends were wild hooligans, so I was the best one in them, among them. So we were like, you know, making fun. And on the last day, they were talking about Holy Spirit and this fire of the Holy Spirit, this love of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to listen to them. And then the guys next to me, don't listen, okay? We are pagans. All right, okay, we are pagans. And then we are making fun. And then towards the end, then I had this desire in me saying, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. Immediately they started to sing. They exposed the Blessed Sacrament, started to sing a song. Then I felt there is real urge in me for this, whatever they call it, Holy Spirit. Now I started to clap the hands, and everyone beside me, something is going to happen to me. You becoming holy. And I'm like, I started to clap the hands, and then I walked from the back to the front where Jesus was. As I was walking, I could feel there is something so powerful is coming into me.
And then I feel something is going out.
Too many devils at the age of 17, you know?
Inside of me. As I was walking, I feel there is so much power going in me, I cannot contain. Then I fell. Then I went into some kind of, you know, these gifts of the spirit, they call it. Now I understand. Hallelujah, shalalabadaya, something like that. Some kind of weird language. And it just came to me. I didn't want expecting it. But I experienced someone filling me deeply. There is a new joy came to my life. There is a new fire. The next thing I did, I wanted to read Bible. I had no idea. The only time I read Bible, Dad will say, Bonnie's turn to read the Bible. That's what I used to do. So it comes every third day because Tony, Bonnie, Sonny, Bonnie's time to read the Bible. But I went home. I wanted to read the Bible. I wanted to know who Jesus was. And after that incident, every time I hear the word Jesus, I feel like a tingling sensation. You know, Jesus becomes so much kind of personal to me. I wanted to go to church because even though I didn't really understood the Holy Spirit, the Eucharist, I felt I'm attracted to the Mass. I'm attracted to the Word of God. I'm attracted to Jesus. I wanted to pray. I went into the prayer group in my parish. It was like all these retired women in the parish. And as soon as they say me, oh, there's a young guy. So I had this real thirst and desire in me ever since I experienced the Holy Spirit. But the biggest thing happened to me was I felt I was no more alone. I was no more alone. That is the promise of the Holy Spirit, promise of Jesus. In John chapter 14, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. Orphan means who do not have mom or dad, or who do not have security or safety. God will never leave a human person created in his image and likeness alone. With God, he's always togetherness. He feels the intimacy. That is the biggest gift that God can give us. That we will never be alone. I want to share this from my experience. One day, I was traveling from Port Adelaide to Port Lincoln, which is a 7-hour trip. I'm going to a family and got in the bus. And I saw all of them are couples, either boyfriend, or girlfriend, or boyfriend. It's too complicated these days. And husband and wives and husbands. And I'm the only person sitting by myself. And I'm feeling a little bit of pinch of celibacy. I wanted to have someone's shoulder to lie, you know. Little bit of cuddle. You know, I said, Lord, this is going to be the rest of my life. Whenever I travel by myself. Which is some kind of, you know, peace. You don't have to argue for anything with that. But I felt very painful that time. And I said to the Lord, Holy Spirit, you are supposed to be in me and you're my friend. I go to you a couple of years back. Now you have to show me that you are in me. And I'm praying to Holy Spirit, talking to Holy Spirit. And immediately the bus stopped. The driver came towards me. And I said, you're the only old person sitting by yourself. Come to the front, give me company. And then I was standing with him next to his seat and we are talking and I become his mail boy. He asked me to take the mails and drop it into different country towns. But Holy Spirit came to me as a friend in the form of a driver. I remember when I came to join MGL, I was the first one to join. I think I have shared you this story. I was the first Indian and the MGL didn't know how to handle an Indian. The first phone card they gave to an Indian was to Vietnam. And in the first 2 minutes, a Vietnamese girl goes, press this. And I'm like, press one. And then I spoke 3 minutes and it was over because the phone card was to Vietnam. And the guy who bought the phone card is sitting right here. And then what happened? I was too lonely. I used to crack because I was a funny man. I used to crack jokes in Malayalam in my vernacular language in front of a mirror, and I used to laugh because there was no other Indian. And Father Ken asked for some Indians in the embassy, and they said they couldn't find anyone that speaks my language. And 6 months I went through loneliness, and there was incidents that I couldn't bear. And one day at the ordination of a brother at Cathedral in Canberra, there was all this function, and I didn't want to speak to anyone because I was afraid of my English, because who like to talk to me? I don't know what to say. The moment people talking to me, they also mimic Indian accent, trying to, you know. And I'm like, don't do this to me. I am already shaking my head. What do you want to shake your head? You know, and then, you know, after that, so I'm very afraid, and I don't want to go into people's conversation because I have this low self-esteem. I'm in a cultural shock. I'm running around, hiding in a corner. What happened? All the brothers left without me to Red Hill. And this pious woman who is looking at the cathedral hall asked me, where are you? I don't know the street name, because in India we don't have street name. We say left to the church, right to the bar. That's what we say in India, our GPS locations. Next to the church, right turn to the bar. But I didn't know where to say where was my house. And then she looked at me, brown and white. I know where you're from. Come, I'll take you. And that night, I said to the Lord, this is it. I can't. I'm too lonely. I don't know anyone. I can't even crack a joke. Even if I crack, they laugh, not because of the joke, but because of my pathetic situation to explain the joke. Lord, this is too hard for me. Where is the Holy Spirit? And that night, I cried. I couldn't sleep. I decided next day I'm going to leave. So I said, for the last time, I will go into the church, because my only consolation was Jesus in India was same as Jesus in Australia. He was bred there and bred here, praise the Lord. So I exposed the sacrament around 1 o'clock at night in Red Hill Chapel, and I cried in front of him. I spoke in Malayalam to him. I said, you are the only person who can understand my language, because I can't find anyone. I'm going to speak to you in my language. You are same in India, same in Australia. I am very lonely. This is not fair. And I cried and cried. Immediately, without my knowledge, I started to speak in tongues. Then I was reminded of the power he is hugging me. I will know to leave you as often. The Holy Spirit who was in me woke up and hugged me and said, you are not alone. I will never leave you as alone. And that is the biggest gift of God to us. That we are never, ever alone. But this spirit given to us, Galatians chapter 5 verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, we should be guided by the Spirit. What is the difference between live by the Spirit and guided by the Spirit? All of us, everyone who is created in the image and likeness of God, has God the Holy Spirit, no matter what. Because we are never alone. God lives in us. That is true. But he needs our permission to be guided by him. He will not guide us, because if he guide us, we will become dolls. We don't have any reason, willpower, freedom. He is inside of us. Doesn't matter. Otherwise, we don't give him, unless we give him permission, he will not dictate our freedom. So if we live in the Spirit, we have to be guided by the Spirit. And to be guided by the Spirit, we have to give him permission. One day, I had an incident that I couldn't preach. I was angry with someone just before the Mass. Very angry with someone. I thought I'm going to do something to them. And then I get ready for Mass. I came and I said to the Lord, this is not really good. I can't pray. I'm so angry. I can't preach. This is not good. And then when I was getting ready for preaching, I prayed a simple prayer. Holy Spirit,
given to me in baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, and ordination. I give you permission now to be released in me.
I don't know how that prayer came to me, but the prayer came to me, Holy Spirit given to me in baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, and ordination. I give you permission now to be released in me.
And the Spirit worked. He needs our permission to be released in us. And then we really experience the power of the Holy Spirit.
There is a lady called Vasula Reedon. She's a Protestant preacher. But she used to say, because her sense of the Holy Spirit is so full on, whenever she goes to movie, she used to normally take 2 tickets. Because,
it's crazy, isn't it?
I was laughing it too. Anyway, but making the point, because she's always talking to the Holy Spirit. How many of you tried? We call Holy Spirit as if he's like from there. Come here, come here, come here. Sometimes I get, I need to talk to Holy Spirit. Sometimes when you drive, Holy Spirit, I'm going to go for a preaching. Help me, Holy Spirit. I know you are inside of me. Be released in me. Give me the right word. Conversing the Holy Spirit. Or I'm making a decision. Should I take it up or not? Holy Spirit, I'm confused. Should I take it up or not? Please inspire me. Please inspire me. Please guide me. How many of us got scared? How many of us talk to Holy Spirit as if he is our friend? He has been given to us for comforting us, helping us, to convict us, and to be of our advocate. And how many of us really use that power? How many of us really talk to him, ask him comfort, ask him help? We need to
really shake him up, stir him up, because he's given to us for our company when Jesus left. When I leave, I will give you a new advocate. At this Mass, let us call upon the Holy Spirit. If we haven't ever called upon him, let us call upon him. Really seek him every day's help. If you're cooking, ask the Holy Spirit, I have to cook. If you're doing laundry, lots of time to pray. If you're working in public service, pray next to the people who are sitting next to you. If you're living in the bunch of priests, pray, oh, give me the grace of patience and generosity and love. If you're in a marriage, pray, Holy Spirit, let me know, show me how to be a good wife and a good husband. If you're a child studying in university, Holy Spirit, help me to do this assignment. In everything, we can call upon him because he is our friend and he is given to us so that we will be comforted. We will be convinced of our lives and we will have an advocate. Let us call upon Holy Spirit. Let us call upon him. Let us really use him.